Decisions, decisions. Y'all be finding Genesis chapter. I told you a fib last week, and I apologize. We are not going to be in chapter 38. We're going to be in chapter 39. I know. That's good for you, so we're okay. We're going to skip to 39 to pick up more. We want to focus on just Joseph and where his story goes. So it doesn't talk about anything in 38 much with Joseph, so we'll pick up in 39. We are going to start out by recapping what we talked about last week, just so we're caught up. I know a week is a long time span for us to lose what we've heard. So we're going to do a recap of what we learned last week. And everything's on the screen for you. I just went through the bullet points of the main things from last week. First point, remember Joseph's brothers became jealous and they schemed to get rid of him. Point two, they first threw him into a pit to die, then they changed their mind and they sold him as a slave. Point three, We probably wrote this down last week. His brothers returned home, and they deceived and lied to their father about his disappearance. Remember all that? They went back. They took his piece of his bloody coat and says, the animal must have got him. We're sorry, Dad. And that part still just blows my mind how they could. It says they tried to comfort him. I mean, think about that. Knowing what happened to him. I mean, imagine Mom knocks off Angela. She's going to Grandma. And say, I don't know, I'm sorry, Mama. I know poor little Angela out there, that little blind got her little 100-pound body and ripped her to pieces. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Mama. We all miss her. We all love her. And the whole time they're going, yes, yes, she's gone. That's how our brothers were acting. They were jealous. They wanted rid of them. Point four. Jacob, which is Joseph's father, mourns for Joseph, thinking he is dead. We leave him think Joseph, the dad, thinks Joseph is gone. So the Bible says he actually said, I'll mourn until my grave. I'll never get over it. I'll always mourn for my son. Number five, Joseph arrives in Egypt and is sold to Potiphar, who is captain of the guards. And that's what we pick up tonight. So we see what happened last week through the recap, and now we pick up in chapter 39 where he's no longer in his homeland, but he's now in Egypt, a strange land. He has been sold from the Ishmaelite band to Potiphar. And he's now in Potiphar's house. And we'll make, after verses 4 and 5, I got a couple points I'll make, and then we'll read all the way through, and then I've got some recap at the end. We'll make some points. Verse 139, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, God does things really unusual sometimes. Think about Joseph's journey. The poor boy only went out doing what his daddy said. If you remember that, he said, son, go check on your brothers. See how the sheep are doing. See how your brothers are doing. Come back and give me a report. And we talked last week that this wasn't just in the backyard or around the corner somewhere. He was 75 miles away. This was a week or two journey. You know, a couple weeks, 2-3 week journey to get there and get back. And so he went to do what his father said. Instead of coming home, he ends up in a pit to die. Then they change their mind. They see this merchant band coming by selling goods. So let's sell them to them. Pull them out of the pit. Sell them as a slave. Now he finds himself in Egypt. It's like nobody wanted them. My brothers don't want me. The pit don't want me. The Ishmaelites don't want me. And I'm in Potiphar's hand. So he's in Potiphar's hand. But this journey was all part of God's plan. And as my daughter says all the time, it's all about the journey. Let's enjoy the journey. Sometimes we just want the end result without experiencing the journey. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. Have I got a point right there? Yeah, go to that point. This is found, right here. He was purposely positioned. Joseph was purposely positioned to be in the place he was, though it seemed unfair. Now, we talked last week about this. Think about how unfair it must have seemed this little kid. Joseph was 17 years old, a kid when this happened. And he's been abandoned by his brothers. He was left to die in a pit. Then he was sold by his own flesh and blood as a slave. Now he finds himself in a strange land, a pagan nation, away from daddy, away from all of his family. And here he is, but God is blessing him and God is prospering him because he's where he's supposed to be. God purposely positions us. God on intention puts us where he wants us. He doesn't have to explain how we get there or why he's using the method he's using. His end result, God's will and desire, is that his plan through us is fulfilled. And sometimes that journey doesn't go the way we think it should go. It's a very bumpy journey. It's a very unexplainable journey. Doesn't make sense why God would use all of these trials and tribulations in Joseph's life to get him here. But God had a greater plan. God had a bigger plan. His plan would be fulfilled. And God had to get Joseph from where he was as that 17-year-old little boy to check on his brothers to now the place in Egypt that we'll read later will become very meaningful why he's there. Joseph don't know why he's there right now. You may not know why you're where you're at right now. You may feel like you're in a place, I don't understand why I'm here. It doesn't make sense. This isn't where I feel like I belong, but it's part of a process. Everything's a process. We don't go from just this to this overnight. It is a process of step by step, inch by inch, decision by decision, placement by placement that God does in our lives. And so that's why we can enjoy the journey if we know God's leading the trail. Man, if I'm on the big steamboat, woo-hoo, and God's the captain, I'm good. Let the storms come. God's still the captain. Let the waters rise. God's still the captain. If I ground up and I get abandoned on dry ground and the rudders begin to tear up, God's still the captain. All of this is part of my journey that God has planned for me. So I will not be in despair, and I will rejoice even when I see those times because I know God is taking me where he wants me to be. The journey is, sometimes we blame God for the journey because we think it's the devil doing this. And you can look at Joseph's life, and how many religious folks would say, man, that old devil, boy, he was against Joseph. That old devil got him in the pit. That old devil sold him as a slave. That old devil put that seed of evil in his brother's heart. Well, yeah, was it the devil or was it God's plan? Sometimes we tend to give the devil a lot more credit than he deserves. It is God who had his hand on Joseph. It was God who spoke. Let's really take it back deep to really think about this. It was God who told Jacob to tell your son to go check on my brothers. Him even leaving to go check was part, the first step of God's plan. And then they threw him in the pit to die, but Joseph couldn't die. Why? Because Joseph had a destiny. So he couldn't stay in the pit and die. So they sold him as a slave. That was also part of the destiny. He wouldn't stay a slave, as we'll read about. So now he's in Egypt, a place he knows he shouldn't be. Why am I in Egypt? Why am I in this strange pagan nation when I serve the God of my fathers, but I'm here? Why am I here? Because God wanted him there. God placed him there. This wasn't the devil doing all of this stuff. Man, this was God about to give Joseph a destiny that was going to break wide open everything and change the future of thousands and millions of people. He went, as we see, from the pit to the palace. And by the time of the end of night, he's going to be somewhere else. But all of this is part of God's plan. He purposely positioned Joseph. God puts us where he wants us on purpose. Verse 5. It came to pass in the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. My next point. God's word was coming to pass. And I'll explain this. Go to the next slide. Here's what Genesis 12:3 says, a promise from God. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. The reason that Potiphar's house was blessed is because Joseph was there. and because the covenant God made with Joseph, that I will bless them that bless you. Joseph was shown favor by Potiphar by his promotion. Therefore, the blessing of God was now extended into his whole house because for the very sake of Joseph, the seed of God. I mean, when he came into Potiphar's house, he didn't know what was going to happen, but all of a sudden, favor began to be poured in. Blessings and prosperity and things worked and things clicked and everything Joseph did just worked, proving and showing that God's word and his covenant in Genesis 12 is being fulfilled now in this chapter of 39. We're seeing God's covenant fulfilled. God's word doesn't lie. And that gives me hope to realize that God's word to us today, God's word is still alive and it's still coming to pass. And I trust what God's word says. I trust when Jesus tells me that I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you, but I will be with you to the very end of the ages. I believe that and I trust that. And so I don't have to doubt, God, I'll be alone one day. God, you're going to leave me. God, I'm going to be separated. God, I'm not going to feel you. I realize what his word says and I trust his word. As it came to pass here, it comes to pass in our lives. God's word cannot lie. So the whole house is being blessed because of the covenant that God made with Joseph. Verse 6, he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not what he had except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. And there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness, and I love what he says here, and sin against God? Here is Potiphar's wife throwing herself at Joseph. Because if you read about Joseph, he was described as a good-looking, tall, good to look at. Let's put it in today's world. He was eye candy. Joseph was good eye candy. And so here he is, this good-looking eye candy. He's now got the power and rule of the house. And all the people are out of the house. Here comes Potiphar's wife. She sees Joseph, and she asks to lie with me, and she's trying to instigate a relationship. And Joseph stands on the integrity of God's word. And he said, all in this house I've got, I can have, but not you. You belong to him. And I cannot sin against God. So many times we think, and I hear this all the time, I do the right things, I still get the wrong results. No matter what I try, no matter what I do, evil wins, fools win, the wicked win, the ones doing it wrong win. I do it right, I get the shaft. They do it wrong, they get blessed. Life can seem very unfair, but we're going to see in this story and discover that following God's way and doing it the right way does make a difference in the end. Because doing things the wrong way will always, at some point, come back to haunt you. Because we think we can take a shortcut and do it a different way. We think we can avoid seeds that we sow because we're just that good. We're that cool. That's how we roll. So we'll escape that. And we find out, no. When we don't do things the right way, and I'm telling you, I couldn't get by with nothing. That's my lot in life. I would not be the one that could ever get by with anything as far as trying to do a little cheating here or there, as far as do a little something I shouldn't do, and then not, I'd be the very one that if I didn't report a $5 check I got, the IRS is all to me. That'd be my luck. We see, Mr. Lewis, there's a $5 check you didn't report. Are you serious? That would be as an example, that'd be who that's what would happen to me. And so I've learned to realize, and I've taught and teaching, try to, my kids this, that's on the phone right now, that do things the right way. Do it up front, do it to the best of your ability, and do it the right way, because shortcuts only lead to dead ends eventually. But when we do things right, it usually works out. And it will for Joseph, as we'll get into later on in this series. So his wife's trying to entice him. He said, I can't do that. It came to pass as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Think of the strength that Joseph must have had. This woman was relentless. It wasn't a one-time deal. We read here day by day. Every day she was pressuring him. Every day, come on. My man ain't going to know. He won't find out. Man, you're Joseph, man. You got control of this. Come on, lie with me. Let's have a little fling. Nothing's going to happen. Day by day, she pressured him. Day by day, she kept coming against him. And day by day, Joseph kept resisting her. It wasn't in Joseph's power he was able to do this. We realize this. In our human abilities, we know that we are weak and we fail. But Joseph was honoring God, and the strength of God was keeping him from making this misstep, because this misstep could change the destiny of what God had planned for him. So he said no, kept resisting. Verse 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there. She caught him by his garment and said, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he got him out. I like how that's worded. He got him out. He ran from her. Brother Gale, that took some strength, didn't it? Because you know Potiphar's wife wasn't no ugly meat. You know she's pretty, probably. And this was a temptation for him. And he got to the point that he had to actually run and go the other way and get away from her because she was so persistent. Joseph's doing all the right things right here. He is above board. He is the Tim Tebow of Egypt. He is doing it right. Verse 13, it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and he was fled forth, she called to the men of her house, spoke to them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. Now, by her expressing this Hebrew, a Hebrew, it was a slight to who he was. She really was downgrading. You brought this Hebrew into our house. Well, she sure wanted that Hebrew between the sheets, didn't she? My, how things change. She wanted this Hebrew really bad, but now that he's resisting her, all of a sudden, this Hebrew, this nothing, this less than us that you brought in this house, look what he did to me. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Oh my gosh. Poor Joseph, man, he can't catch a break. All the boy's doing in the beginning is going to do what his dad told him when he finds himself in a pit. And they're going to murder him, leave him to die. Then they pull him out and sell him. They sell their own brother for 20 pieces of silver. They sell him. Now he's in Egypt and things are going good again. Hey, I've got a promotion. I'm ruler of the house. People respect me. Everything's cool. Are you kidding me? Now I've got this charge against me, this felony count against me. And I cried. Look, I cried. Oh, but nobody could help me. He attacked me. Yes, he did. He attacked me. A complete false accusation. Next verse. It came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me, fled, and got him out. Only half that's true, right? He definitely fled, and he definitely got him out. But she didn't cry as a victim. Man, she was on him like peanut butter on a slice of bread. She was on him like cheese in a pizza. She was like him like a gnat on a piece of fruit. She was on him. She's lying. Let's see what happened to Joseph. She laid up his garment by her till her husband came home. She kept it. Can you imagine now that old scornful, wily ways that woman's starting to turn? I'll get that boy. He's going to resist this. You wait. Wait till my man gets home. Yeah. You'll be begging you should have lied with me. Now let's see what's going to happen to you. So she waited till her master come, till her husband come home. She spoke unto him these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which you have brought into us came into me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out." Here is poor Joseph doing the right thing and being falsely accused. How devastating this must have been when Joseph finds this out. Are you kidding me? God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to do the right things. And this is going to come to pass in my life. So she tells her husband a story. Came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake to him, saying, which of course he's going to believe her. I mean, I would believe my wife. "After this manner did thy servant do to me, that his wrath was kindled." The husband is hot. He should be hot. Somebody try to touch my wife, I'm going to be hot too. That's how it is. He believed her. He's going to defend her honor. He's only accepting her side of the story. Next verse. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Now, he could have received the death penalty. If you do studies on this, he could have very easily have been killed. But he wasn't killed because God had a plan. And even false accusations, even lies against him. His brothers lied against him. Now this woman's lying against him. But he could not die because God had a greater plan. They put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. I mean, imagine this, Joe. You're at Walmart walking around, right? And some woman walks up to you and just throws herself on you. "Lie with me, Joe. Lie with me." And Joe's like, "No, woman." He goes in the next week. Same woman comes up to him. "Joe, have you thought about what I said? Come on. Sharon won't know. She works 10 to 7, buddy. Come on, Joe. We'll go down to Denny's and get it on. Come on, Joe." Next week, Joe goes in. The same woman keeps pressuring him. Joe is saying, "No, no, no, get away from me." Joe runs from her. Then somebody comes, accuses Joe. "This woman, Joe, said you tried to sleep with her and you tried to induce her." And Joe's like, "No, I told her no. I ran away." And now Joe's in prison for it. In prison. For a crime he didn't commit. For an act he didn't do. What must have been going through Joseph's mind? Think about his journey so far. I mean, he must have thought, "I got the worst luck in the world. My own brothers hated me. They tried to kill me. Then I'm taken out of my daddy's hands and sold as a slave. Now I got sold as a slave again. I finally get promoted and I get falsely accused of sexual assault, of rape. And now I'm in prison for something I didn't do." But the Lord was with him. And the Lord showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. This was a God thing. He was in prison because he was supposed to be there, not because of what he had, anything he'd done wrong. This is what we got to remind ourselves. Sometimes we're like, "Devil, why are you doing this to me?" Instead of saying, "Hang on a minute, maybe this is part of my journey that God's got me where he wants me to produce something else in my life." Because Joseph sure wouldn't have checked himself into prison on his own. But he's there by a false accusation, which seems so unfair, so wrong. But he's there because God purposely positioned him to be in this prison. Sometimes we're in a prison, we just think it's always the enemy, but sometimes it's in that prison, just like Peter and Silas, when they were locked up and they were in prison. And you know, remember why they were in prison? Just for teaching Jesus. They were locked up for teaching Jesus. And while they were in prison, the Bible says, what do? They sang psalms and songs and psalms and made worship while they're in prison. Can you imagine? I don't know what they were singing. I don't know what the songs were. But they were probably quoting maybe some scriptures from the Old Testament. Who knows what they were saying? But they were in prison, and they were singing, and they were praising God. And while they were doing that in that prison, the ground shook, and the bars came open, the doors swung wide open, and they came out free and loose, and the guards were saved. And right there, saved by the same Jesus they were locked in for, but it became the same Jesus that set the captives free around them, because they were supposed to be there. Sometimes I think we misthink why we're where we're at. I know I have a lot of my life. You know, I want to blame every bad thing on the devil, that it's something I've done is why I'm here. I've done something wrong is why I'm suffering. If I'd done this, I'd be here. But I've got to realize, if I believe in a God that's got all control over all things, if I believe in a God that gives me life, the keeper of life, that nothing is out of his hands, nothing. Even with Job, remember Job, when the devil tested Job, he had to go to God first and say, "Let me test your servant." Everything's in God's hands. So if I believe that and I trust that, then I will worship God not just on the mountaintop, but I'll worship God in the pit. I'll worship God in the prison. I'll worship God wherever place I'm at, whatever position that I'm in, because he is still God and he is faithful. And maybe the moment of me being a pit or being a prison is part of a purpose that I haven't yet seen. But I'm there because God wants me there to get me to where I would go, that I wouldn't be there any other way unless he positioned me there. I've learned as a Christian to walk in that. It's given me more encouragement to realize, God, I trust you. I just believe you. I don't have to always be on the mountaintop to declare your glory. I don't always have to be walking in victory to know you're there. But God, on the boat when the storm came, you were there. In the lion's den with Daniel, you were there. When Goliath faced the army of Israel, you were there. When the fiery furnace was cranked up, you were there. When Isaac was about to be slaughtered by his own father, you were there. In those moments that seemed wrong, think about the three Hebrew children, how unfair it must have seemed to them in their minds. We're not going to worship God and we're going to die for it. Seems kind of unfair, but you know what? We still love God, still serve God, still believe God. And God showed up. He showed up there. He showed up with Daniel. He showed up with Abraham. He showed up with Moses in the Red Sea. All these points that we think are stoppages, all these points that we think are barriers, not letting us go any farther, or can be the very place that God wants us. Moses wasn't led to the Red Sea by accident. He was led there for deliverance. The Red Sea was not a bondage. It was a part of their deliverance and demise of their enemies. Because the same Red Sea that they crossed over for their safety was the same Red Sea that destroyed their enemies. So you may be in the pit, you may be in the prison, but you are purposely positioned by the hand of God to be where you're at that time, at that season, at that moment, because God ordained it. So embrace it and celebrate it and wait till God puts you in the next place he has for you. Celebrate that. We read the Bible, man. There's some stories in there. Nobody had it easy. Nobody had it easy. But God delivered them all. Samson had a hard life, but God delivered him. David did things he shouldn't have done, but God delivered him. All of these men and women we read about were pressed about with tribulations and trials, but God was with them. Paul was whipped many times, imprisoned many times, kicked out of town many times. But he kept on preaching the gospel. He kept following God. And even in prison, 2 Timothy, the last book that he wrote to us, he was in a prison cell still writing the word of God. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. My departure is at hand, and there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." He wasn't whining and moaning while he was in prison. He was still declaring the goodness of God. And though I'm about to leave this, though I'm in this prison, I'm about to be set free, because God has me here now, but very, very soon, I'm going to see the King. Very, very soon, church, we're going to see the King. So we endure the pits, and we endure the prisons, and we endure the false accusations, because we know that God is in control, and we will be vindicated through the blood of Jesus, and there is no charge that can be laid to the elect of the seed of God. Hallelujah. Let's get back to our teaching. Got my teacher mode on. Thank you. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. Here he is again. Everywhere this boy goes, he gets promoted. Now he's promoted in prison. The keeper of the guard gave all the prisoners' responsibilities unto Joseph. And he, they were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. He had control and leadership in the prison. Here God's hand again is on him for a reason and a purpose. He was in that prison because he was supposed to be there. Not because it was the devil doing it. It was God putting him there for a future that hasn't yet been realized. We have a future that hasn't yet been realized. And sometimes our present, let's just be honest, it can stink. I mean, it just stinks sometimes. We go through trials in this life. And we go through times of discouragement, times of fear, times of anger, times of doubt. And we go through these seasons of lives all through. Doesn't seem fair, things come into our lives. But as we realize that the God of mercy is with us, and in every season, he is with us. In every event, he is with us. In every high time and every low time, he is with us. He is the God of the mountain, and he is God of the valley. He is God through it all. And that's where our faith must be. Our faith cannot be in our circumstances. Our faith has to be in our God. Our faith can't be attached to what we're going through. Our faith has to be attached to who we're serving. Our faith can't be about what we face tomorrow. Our faith has to be in the one that holds our tomorrow. Our faith in him. And so many times as Christians, our faith wavers based on our day or our mood or what we're going through. Because our day didn't go just perfect, or there's bumps in the road, and there's things going on. Let's learn to realize God has us where he wants us, and to embrace those moments and trust him and wait upon him to take us to the next step he has waiting on us. Each thing's a step. None of you went from your car to this sanctuary in one step, unless it was the Holy Ghost that just, you zapped in here. All of you took many, many steps to walk from the parking lot into here. Step. Marty took a lot more than most of you, bless her heart. Step, 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 step to get to where you're at. And each step is different, but each step is necessary to get us to where God has us. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And he ran the prison. He had full reign to run it because God was with him. And that which he did, the Lord, here it is again, made it prosper. Because of the covenant that he made with Abraham. I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. Here's the prison guard, promotes Joseph. Guess what? All of a sudden, instant blessing. All of a sudden, instant prosperity. Because God was honoring his covenant. 3 points I want to make tonight for this message. Number one, all these apply to us. Now, we talked earlier how God purposely positions us. And we see in 2 chapters, 3 places that Joseph has went already. He started out in the pit, seemed really unfair, but the pit got him to the palace. Yay again. Now the palace got him to the prison. Boo again. He's went from the pit to the palace to the prison. In our lives, we go through seasons like that. There's days we're in the pit, there's days we're in a palace, there's days we feel like we're in a prison. But notice in each of these situations, God was with Joseph in the pit. And God was with Joseph in the palace. And God now is with Joseph in the prison. God didn't leave him. God didn't forsake him. God was in all these stages, in all of these seasons. God was in all of these places with Joseph. He didn't leave him alone. He doesn't leave us alone. Whatever, tonight, I mean, these are really symbolic of our lives. I mean, all of us in here tonight are probably feel like we're in one of these places. You know, we're either in a pit, we're either celebrating, you know, freedom in a palace, or maybe we feel like we're in prison, we're bound by something, whatever. These are 3 symbolic places where we may be today. But in all of these areas, God is with you. No matter what you face, God is with you, like he was Joseph. And God knows what he's doing. And God, notice God didn't leave Joseph in the pit. And God didn't leave Joseph in a palace. And God didn't leave Joseph in the prisons, we'll get into next week. Or maybe the next week, I'm not sure. We'll see. I won't tell you what chapter to read because I'm wrong again. Point two. God is continually repositioning us in order to position us where he wants us. Our whole lives are about repositioning. And we don't like that sometimes. I know when we first moved, Ashley had a very hard time because so much in her life changed at one time. She's 13 we moved. Yeah, 13 years old. And we moved houses, the only house she ever lived in. She changed schools, went to school where nobody, she didn't know anybody. We even tore her little playground down where she got saved and built a big old building right here. All in the same year. New house, new school, new church. And two of her siblings, yeah, they're out of state. That's a lot of change. She got repossessed. Her world got turned upside down. But that's how our lives are, that God repositions. And we don't like repositioning because, man, we like the lazy boy. We got everything. Just like it's like us guys. We have that certain cap we just love because it's broken in just right. We like the way it fits our head. I don't like them new stiff caps. It takes you 2 years to break it in. You want a cap that fits just right. You got that lazy boy in the right position. Some of us guys, my dad especially, got shirts he's had for 30 years. Won't get rid of it. It's my favorite shirt. I got shirts like that that I wear out. I like the shirt. I like the way it feels. I like how it looks on me. I like it. So I wear it. It's comfy. That's it. We get comfortable. We get so comfortable in life that we don't want to be repositioned. Because repositioning means that we are, God's pulling us out of our comfort zone and putting us somewhere that we're not quite as comfortable. But you know what that is? It's called a growing process. A growing process. I remember when I first left Foodline to go to Walmart, I had a real hard adjustment curve. I mean, I did good on my job, but far as emotionally, it took me almost 2 years to really feel like I was part of Walmart because it was so different than Foodline. Even though it was retail, it was just so different. I wasn't used to selling garden hoses and pillowcases and fishing rods. Man, I'm a beanie weenie, canned tuna, gallon milk, egg kind of person. So I go to Walmart, and I remember I remember telling Mel, I hope I made the right, for a long time, I hope I made the right decision. It was hard. I went from something I was food line for 10 and a half years. I went from a bag boy to a store manager. I knew every position. I knew every department. You know, food line, man, me and food line, we were like one, you know. I mean, James, food line Lewis. You know? I mean, it was like one. I come across my business card in the office. I sent a picture to Bill. I texted to him and sent it to him yesterday. But I found my business card when I was a store manager in Huntersville. Food line card, James Lewis, store manager, store 1260, Huntersville, North Carolina. It's kind of faded on one corner, but I got that in my office and brought back a lot of good memories. But I remember when I left Foodline, I first went to Walmart, I did not like it. I did not like Walmart at first. It was such an adjustment, and it was almost overwhelming. The store was so big. The volume was so much different, and so many more people. Man, I went from a store of having 40 people to having 500. I mean, it was just a huge adjustment. But you know what? I look back now, Joe, and know that that was God ordained that I left and that I let God reposition me to that position. Even though it was very uncomfortable the first couple of years, I was uncomfortable, I was unsure, I wasn't settled, I kept second-guessing myself. And then I began to get accustomed, I began to settle down, began to kind of blend in and begin to really enjoy it. But man, the first couple of years, it was a very big adjustment. We don't like repositioning because it makes us stretch out of our comfort zone. But if we will learn in life that God is continually repositioning us, to position us where he wants us to be, that he takes us out of where we're at and he puts us over here, and if we can endure the process, we'll be fine. But some don't like the process, so they don't follow, or they give up, or they get discouraged. Just trust, the old saying says, trust the process. Trust the process. The New England Patriots have been to 8 Super Bowls in what, 17 years or 16 years or 15 years, something like that. 8 Super Bowls. And they have something they call the Patriot Way. Everyone that goes there normally succeeds because they have their own process. And it's not like any other football team. It's different. It's called the Patriot Way. A lot of players say they don't like working. They don't like being there. They don't really enjoy the coach. They don't enjoy the system. But guess what? It works. It works. It's been proven to work. So in our spiritual journey, we know God works. We know his word works. We just expect it to work a lot sooner than what Sometimes God has it planned for us. So we got to trust the process. Maybe we're not receiving what we're desiring because we're not in the right position. So allow God to reposition us to be able to get us where he wants us. That's what he did with Joseph. He took Joseph from Canaan and put him in the pit. Then he put him in the palace. And now he put him in the prison. God has already repositioned Joseph three times to get him where he wants him. My last point tonight. God uses our trials and our tribulations to move us into the plans that he has for us. You know, a lot of us have been taught, and I know I have through the years, about trials and tribulations that, you know, we got victory over them all. And I agree that we have victory through Christ and all that. But there's nowhere in the Bible, even close, that points that we will not suffer trials and tribulations. We can try to preach it all we want, but it ain't there. We can try to preach this victorious message, but it's in the Word of God that there are trials and tribulations. We read every single person in the Bible that has a storyline in there had trials. Man, Jonah got swallowed by a fish. Are you kidding me? Daniel got thrown in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, man, they about had cremation. I mean, you see all these people in the Bible. We see Joseph been put in prison, been thrown in a pit, been sold as a slave. We've seen David overwhelmed with all kinds of enemies for the last part of his life as a king. He was under continual attack all the time from other countries. He never had peace. And David was a man after God's own heart. And he struggled having peace because he was always under attack. So yes, we're going to have trials and tribulations. Let's not always make it a negative thing. Let's change our perspective from this. Let's go from, I always use examples, it's two good examples. Let's go from being the Eeyore of trial and tribulations to the Tigger of trial and tribulations. Some of us are like, I'm always going through stuff. Woe is me. Oh, God Almighty, woe is me. Nothing ever works for me. And we're just so down and out. And then some of us are the Tiggers, right? Woohoo, I'm going through some things, but you know what? It's getting me where I want to go. I'll hop right along till God pulls me through. Because all of this is part of the process. It truly is about our attitude toward things. Just because we're saved, we belong to Jesus, Holy Ghost filled, sanctified, Gail, right? Glorified, justified. All that fides. We're all them fides. We are also this. We're still tribulized and trialized and problemized. Can I get a witness up in here? We got these problems. The difference is understanding that these trials and tribulations and things that we go through that we don't like and we sure don't pick out for ourselves can be a great process in moving us forward into the plans God has for us. Think about things in your life you went through and how it propelled you to a deeper faith, to a greater understanding, to a better position, to whatever in life that it puts you into, that you look back and say, if I hadn't went through that, I wouldn't be where I am now. If I hadn't went through that experience, I wouldn't know what I know now. If I hadn't endured that, I wouldn't know how to endure this now. But our past tribulations and our past trials help us with present tribulations and present trials. Because we realize, God, you did it then, you can do it again now. And so I trust you. I think the key, a big point for us Christians to realize is we don't escape trials and tribulations because we're saved. Every one of us in here, in this room tonight, either has some kind of physical problem, emotional problem, financial problem. We all are facing something. And this is the Wednesday night crowd. You're the real sanctified crowd, man. Y'all Wednesday night people, y'all the cream of the crop. Joe Brown even came up tonight on a cold, dark night from Mooresville, left his wife at work to walk around for an hour. That's how much he loves y'all in this church. And Jesus, hallelujah. She will spend all your money, brother, while she's walking around that store. 2 hours. Do a lot of damage at Walmart in 2 hours with a credit card. We learned this, though. So let your trials and tribulations push you into where God wants you. Don't let it keep you out of where God wants you. We don't like it. But you know what? Say, Lord, teach me something out of this. Show me something out of this. Man, when Daniel got rescued from the lion's den, what happened? He was promoted. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got delivered from the fiery furnace, what happened? They were promoted. When Moses, man, Moses was walking around minding his own business, Gail, just walking around one day, this little cane, you know. I don't know if he had a cane then or not, but walking around, you know. All of a sudden, Moses. Some bad wine or something. What? There's a bush on fire, but it's not burning. And it calls out to him, Moses, my people's cries I've heard, and you're going to deliver them out. Do you know who I am? I'm a murderer. I'm on the run. I'm a fugitive. But I'm going to use you. And man, Moses had tribulations and trials. All the times he had to face Pharaoh, all the whining of the followers, the Red Sea experience, the no water experience, you know, all the things that Moses had to endure on this. I mean, God, okay, put it this way. That was about a three-week journey it should have took him to get there if they'd have went the short. As Siri says, how far is Birmingham, Alabama? It is 360 miles the way the crow flies. That's what she says. You ever do that? She gives you the way the crow flies. The way the crow flew, that should have taken about 3 weeks to make that journey. It took them 40 years. Their trials, their tribulations moved them to the place God had for them. This was God's journey, not theirs. This was God's plan, not theirs. So that's what we want. We want a three-week deliverance that may take us 40 years. So hang on. Enjoy the ride. Welcome to the adventure. Yes. Julie, got anything to add? Yes. I know. It's kind of a good thing they not knowing where we end up, you know? Just letting God just take us where he wants us. You ever went for a ride somewhere that didn't know where he was going? You got in a car and just said, I'm going to take off it, just see where this road leads. You go on a road. Me and Melanie got on a road one night in the mountains on this dirt road up toward Wilkesboro. And it started getting kind of sketchy. So we turn around. But I mean, we went. And I don't know where the dirt, I mean, it's a dirt road right through a mountain. And we're going and going. Started getting dark. I started getting a little nervous. Started seeing eyes glow in the dark in the woods. And so we just turn around and we said, let's get out of here. I don't know what's going on up in here. I mean, I know where Morganton's at. Yes. Those are fun times, though. Not knowing where. Now, Mel don't like that. She wants to know where she's going. She does not. I'll be on the road. Well, let's just see where it ends up. Oh Lord, I like the adventure. I want to see where stuff comes out at. I'm just curious about that. But anyway. All right, we're way off topic. Anybody else got anything in closing you want to add tonight? We'll continue Joseph's story right now. We were leaving him in prison. You'll find a little more about that in the coming weeks. So good question, but hang on. Yeah, to be continued. To be continued. Anybody else? Well, June, good to see you tonight, as always. All righty. Well, let's stand to our feet. We'll close out in prayer. Prime timers tomorrow, 10 o'clock. And where's lunch tomorrow? Canes and Walkers tomorrow. So be here at 10 o'clock. 55. Yeah, you could go. Well, you're not quite old enough. Brenda? Yeah, I told him. I might not say Shirley Childers has been diagnosed with the flu. She texted me while I go before church, says she wouldn't be here. She feels better, but still really, really weak. So Shirley has had the flu, and Aunt Brenda thinks she has the flu, and Bill Christie's little boy, David's very sick. Sky and Courtney are sick. Paul and Rachel McCarg, that family, they've had the flu this week. Stephen and Mary, Donna's daughter and husband, they've got the flu, sick at home. So a lot of people sick. Lanny. Let's remember him as he's in hospice. That's tough. Dee, good to see you tonight. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word tonight that encourages us. We thank you we find hope in your word every time we read it. Brother Gale said, Lord, let us allow you to speak to us through our dreams and through visions and through the message and even through audible voice or through other people. However, God, you want to speak, just open that avenue that we will hear your voice and hang on to what you're speaking. For you cannot lie, and your word will come to pass. Let us hold on and embrace every word spoken for our lives. I pray, God, for our sick family, all of our church family that are sick and battling sickness. I pray for healing, Jesus. Pray for healing for their flesh and break fevers and heal stomachs and just restore the lives of those that are weak right now, Lord, and make them feel better. You are the healer, and by your stripes, God, we know we are healed. And I just lift our family before you, Lord, to watch over them. We pray for Angie, God, you open a door for her, that works out, God, that your favor shines upon her life and that she's able to get the help that she needs, Lord. We give you honor and praise and glory for being our Lord and Savior. And we are thankful, God, that we may be in the pit, we may be at the palace, we may be in the prison tonight, that you're with us wherever we're at. And because of that, God, we can take great comfort. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways and go back home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have an offering tonight. If you can come put on the offering plate, we'd appreciate it. And I hope to see y'all Sunday morning.